Our Father, we thank you this morning for this beautiful day, Lord. We can gather in the name of the Lord Jesus and to be surrounded again here this morning with your word and the teachings and the brothers and sisters. Lord, what a blessing and what an encouragement that we have already had this morning and inspiration, Lord, for our own lives. And Lord, as we open the word further this morning, we pray for your blessing, your anointing upon it, and may you grace us with your presence here, and Lord, that you would feed us from your word today. Bless those who are traveling back from New York City, Lord. Would you care for them and bless them in their journeying, their sharing of testimonies and singing, and Lord, I pray too for the word that was proclaimed. I pray, Lord, that each track, each CD, each Bible, Lord, would do what is sent forth to do. And so, Lord, have your way and teach us, instruct us in the way of righteousness, in the way of godliness. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life that we can have life. So this morning we look to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. There's a verse I want to read to you. Brother Reuben started out this morning saying something reminded him of something when he looked out across our faces here this morning. And I'll say the same thing, just in a different way. Let's see if I can find it here. Yes, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Is that okay to call you a little flock this morning? I'm a part of that little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Amen. I have been doing a series on glorifying God. I did not feel a clearing in my heart to continue that for this morning with so many gone, but the Lord laid something else upon my heart this morning, actually through the week. Let's see if that'll stay there. And I think the Lord has a good word for us this morning. This is maybe just a visual here this morning. And then I'll take and write on the title on the board. I like to keep you curious as long as possible. All right. So the title this morning is Manna or Quail? I wonder what you're thinking this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus 16. We'll be reading a fair amount here this morning. I would encourage you, young ones, old ones, get out your Bibles and follow along. And I would encourage you to do that. It's a good exercise for one. But you'll also connect better with what we're saying here when we're done. So we want to begin in Exodus 16. I think most of us are familiar a little bit with the story of the children of Israel going through the wilderness and how God provided for them through manna, and this is not manna, but it's coriander seed is what it is, and the Bible talks about that in relation to manna. And so that's where I take this little picture from, just to give us a visual. But in Exodus 16, I want to read there, and I'll read through this chapter, I think most of the chapter probably. So we'll see how it goes here. And this speaks about this manna. The children of Israel breaking in here, they had come across the Red Sea and they were now in the wilderness. And verse 1 of chapter 16, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not, or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out of the land of Egypt. And I'm not sure if I had really connected with this little portion here that we're just going to read now, earlier, but let me read on. It says, And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat. Now, notice verse 6 had said that Moses and Aaron told the people that at evening, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron were trying to tell the people, see, they were murmuring against Moses and Aaron, and Moses and Aaron said, no, it's not us. It's God that brought you out. It's amazing how so quickly we forget who really brought us out of darkness. We so quickly forget. And Moses told them that God's going to show you something. God's going to give you an indicator that he has brought you out. And this is what he was going to do in verse 8. And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? And your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at the evening the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning the dew lay round about the host. Now, as I understand this story, the manna that was sent continued on, but the quail only came at evening to show them that God was the one who brought them out of Egypt. Okay? Now, follow through with this. I think you'll understand what I'm saying here. This quail that was sent was an earlier time than later on that we want to talk about. At a later time, God again sent them quail. And we'll talk about that. Verse 14, And when the dew that lay was gone up, Behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "It is manna," for they wist not what it was. And if you would look up in Brother Eli's Strong's Concordance and look up that word manna, it simply means, what is it? That's what that word manna means. And that's why they used the word manna. They looked out and they said, what is it? And we have manna. All right. Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." Now an omer, I don't know, it varies a little bit in the measurements that they give, but it's roughly about 2.5 quarts of dry matter is what an omer is. Verse 17, "And so the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it all with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave of it until the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted." So you had to get it in the morning. That's a good little lesson for us. It's a good thing to get up early in the morning to get the manna. Amen. Verse 22, "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses." So this was at the end of the first week, on the sixth day, they went out there and they were gathering twice as much, and the elders got concerned because here they had been told not to gather, more than they could eat, not more than an omer, and here these rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And when he said unto them, and I'm not sure where they were when Moses told them about the sixth day, but obviously they were concerned. Verse 23, he said unto them, "This is that which the Lord has said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that which ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." And they laid it up till the morning. So Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. That was a miracle for 40 years that God did. For 40 years, God did this miracle where not only did he send them the manna, but on the sixth day, they could go out and they could gather twice as much and hold it over, where throughout the week, if they did that, it would breed worms and stink. It is amazing what God did here. Verse 25, "And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field." Neither did that happen. I mean, on the seventh day, God sent no manna. So if you neglected and you didn't go out there on the sixth day and gather twice as much, sorry, you were fasting. You were fasting on the seventh day if you didn't do your job on the sixth day. Verse 26, 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather. They didn't get it. They went out to gather, and there wasn't any. Verse 28, "And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore he giveth it you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna, and it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan." Now an omer is the 10th part of an ephah. This amazing thing happened day after day after day for 40 years. And then at the end, when in Joshua 5, verse 12, I'll read you this verse. "And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land of Canaan. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." So this manna that God sent lasted for 40 years. And when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River, came into Jericho, and it was after, I believe it was right around the time of the Passover, actually, that this thing ended. And they began to eat of the fruit of the land. And then God ceased sending them manna. Quite amazing. And consider with me that it must have been, and we don't have a lot of history, and there was probably not a lot of scientists back then to disclose all of this, but consider with me this manna that God sent from heaven to feed the children of Israel for 40 years. And I don't think when the children of Israel reached the end of that 40 years that they were deficient in anything. In nutrition, I think they were as healthy and as strong a people, or stronger, and it actually would show itself that way, that they were well fed, right? This manna had nutrients in it that I don't know what it was. It doesn't say, but we know that it was something that was wholesome. It was complete. It was a complete diet. Now, you know, we're concerned about that, right? Especially the older we get, you know, the more we're concerned about a wholesome diet. Well, this manna was a very, very wholesome diet. It was complete. Consider that a very complete food, if you would say it that way. Now flip over to Numbers chapter 11. Manna or quail? Manna or quail? We'll get to the point yet, but it'll take a little while to get there. So bear with me. Let's follow along here. Numbers chapter 11, we'll read the first 10 verses, then we're going to skip a few verses, drop into verse 18, and read a few there, and then drop to verse 31. Okay, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord." Did you know that it still does? "When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched." So a fire broke out in the camp because the people were complaining. The anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them. When Moses prayed, the fire was quenched. Verse 3, "And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. I think that was seriously their attitude as they looked at this manna. They had been eating it for some time. It was quite a miracle the first day it happened. But after that, it became routine, and they become just used to the manna. And now they looked on it as something like kind of disgusting. Manna again? Verse 7, and the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills, or beat it into a mortar, and baked it in pans and made cakes of it, and the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Now we're going to drop down to Moses here. He heard the people weeping and so forth, and Moses was becoming exasperated with the people and so forth, feeling a bit overwhelmed. In fact, if you talk about burnout, Moses was experiencing it about right now. He was burned out with these people. And God set up 70 men, is what the next verses talk about here. He set up 70 men to help and assist Moses and so forth. We'll drop down to verse 18. This is, again, the Lord talking to Moses. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against the morrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? I think that's a very key verse in what I want to talk about in relation to manna or quail. God says, I'm going to give you quail. He's going to give them flesh to eat till it comes out of their nose. We use that phrase sometimes as a little, I'm not sure what you call that, but we use that phrase sometimes, you know, as an overabundance till it comes out of your nose. He says nostrils here. And it be loathsome unto you because ye have despised the Lord which is among you. And I think that was in a general term, but I think he was also referring to manna here. That the Lord was the one giving them the manna, and they were complaining about it. Verse 21, and Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. Let's drop down to verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side. He's giving us the dimension here of what it looked like. He said, a day's journey one way, a day's journey the other way. And a day's journey it was. That's where the quail came, and this wind was blowing. And whether these birds were typically migrating at that time or not, to me, that's not important. But God sent them. And he said, I'm going to send them to such an extent that they're going to loathe them. It's going to be so many. And it says, round, it says they came round about the camp, as it were, 2 cubits high. That's 36 inches. 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Some of the writers that write about these things, they want to say that these birds came at about 36 inches height flying, and that they could go out and catch them. Well, all right, I'm okay with that. But I would like to say that it was maybe 36 inches deep of these birds coming. God was going to make sure that they all got to taste it. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day. How long is that? Somebody have that put together yet? 24 hours in a day. All that night, okay, that was 12 hours. All the next day, that's 24 hours. And then, what does it say? And all the next day? So what? How many hours is that? 36 hours? About 36 hours they stood. They were up gathering these quail. And they gathered the quails. He that had gathered least gathered 10 homers. I was trying to find out what a homer is. And it's not real clear, because a homer was considered a donkey load. So it could have varied a little bit on how much you could get on a donkey. But the one who gathered least had 10 donkey loads of quail. Okay? And they spread them all abroad themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people that lusted. I'll stop there. And we could ask, were the quail a blessing from the Lord? Were the quail a blessing from the Lord? When God sent the quail to begin with, they were, the first time. And it was as a sign to the people that God had brought them out of the land of Egypt, and God will take care of me. That was what it was there for. And now they were complaining and murmuring and despising the Lord concerning the manna. And God says, okay, I'll give them flesh. And he gave them way in abundance. But while it was yet between their teeth, the anger of the Lord was kindled against them. And it didn't turn out to be a blessing. Was there anything wrong with eating quail? No. I don't think so. God had sent it in the beginning. Would it have been fine for them to gather and to eat quail, maybe in moderation? Possibly. Possibly. Turn over to the book of Psalms 78. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the land of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters to stand as in heat. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. And he clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, "Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people?" Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. I'm going to stop there. That's some pretty powerful words here that are being spoken about, you know, letting our children know the works of God, what God has done, and so forth. And it comes down where he talks about them eating this flesh and the manna and so forth. And the wrath of God was kindled against Jacob. It says, because they believed not God and trusted not in his salvation. They didn't believe that God could do it. They didn't believe that God could take them through the wilderness and feed them and so forth. And God was there meeting their need. Now the question, what is manna? Or what is quail in our day today? What is it? In answering that, turn to the New Testament, John chapter 6. I'm going to read a few verses there in John chapter 6 in light of this. In the first 15 verses here of John chapter 6, we have Jesus out in the desert in a dry place. And he was out there on the mountain where there wasn't any bread. And they were out there for some time. And it says that Jesus lifted up his eyes in verse 5, and he saw a great company come unto him, and he asked Philip, "When shall ye buy bread that these may eat?" For he said he was doing this to prove his disciples. He himself knew what he was going to do. And of course, this little boy had this lunch, 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and Jesus multiplied this so much so that he fed 5,000 plus women, that was 5,000 men plus women and children. Amazing. That was about as amazing as the manna coming down from heaven, right? And the children, those people that were there at the feeding of the 5,000, I think they recognized this was a miracle. This was mighty. This was something that God did. Amazing. So that was the backdrop here. And they, you know, the people in verse, I think it was verse 15. No, it's verse, in verse, yes, 15. It says, they tried to take Jesus by force and make him their king. And Jesus just departed out from amongst them. Now we're going to pick up in verse 22. Here of this chapter. The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there save that one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone. Howbeit, there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they eat bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, "Rabbi, when comest thou hither?" Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. Now, if you remember in the Old Testament, they were despising the Lord. And Jesus is getting really close to this here. Again, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They were still thinking in very earthly terms. They were still thinking in very physical terms. And Jesus was speaking to them about something spiritual. Verse 35, And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believed not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Praise God for that. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? After all that, they were still thinking very earthly terms, very physical terms. Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And I think you and I would all agree that if that is the only thing we could capture in what Jesus was saying about the bread of life, if we could only think in earthly and physical terms, we would all say, that's absurd. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Verse 55, For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These sayings said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it? I wonder if you're hearing it this morning. Are you hearing what Jesus is saying? It's related to manna or quail. It's related. And maybe you are not connecting the dots yet. But I hope to, at the end here, be able to connect those dots in your mind. What is the manna? We're asking that question. And we want to look at what is the manna. And we do well to understand what Jesus was teaching. If you drop down in verse 63 here of this chapter, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." You know, the manna gave them physical life through the wilderness. The bread that Jesus was talking about here, that he was giving them, he was the bread of life, it says. And he says, that's spiritual life. That's related to the Spirit of God dwelling in a person and giving him life. Jesus is that very manna. The flesh profits nothing, but he says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Like the manna that God sent for 40 years to sustain Israel, it was sufficient, it was complete, it was not deficient in any nutrient. And so it is with Christ Jesus the Lord. There is nothing in Christ Jesus the Lord that makes us deficient, but rather we're complete. That's who Jesus is. And he says we need to be partakers of this heavenly bread if we want to live forever. Verse 51 talks about that. The manna is Jesus. The manna is the Word of God. The manna is something that was sent by God. Jesus Christ came to be that bread, that manna. Manna is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Manna is being a partaker of Christ's sufferings. Manna is being a partaker of his death. Manna is being a partaker of his resurrection. That's what manna is. For in Jesus Christ, we find everything we need. Ye are complete in him. We find everything we need in him. He is our life. He's our light. He's our hope. He's our comfort. He's our power. The list goes on and on and on of who he is. Colossians 2 verse 10, "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." So as I answer this question, manna or quail, we could put up here like this. Jesus Christ is the manna. Jesus Christ is the manna. In him, we are complete. If we eat of this bread, Jesus said, we can live forever. Do you connect it? The manna and what the manna is? What's the quail? What is the quail? I want you to remember something, that the quail that God sent at the beginning, and I already highlighted it some for you, but the quail at the beginning was okay. The second time he sent quail, it was because they were lusting after flesh. They weren't content. They despised the manna, and they weren't content with what God was giving them, even though they were complete. Even though it was giving them everything they needed, they wanted something else. Oh, I just think, can we get a hold of that spiritually? In a simple, simple term for quail, in which we are choosing, is this. Anything we go lusting after to fill our void outside of Jesus Christ is quail. anything we go lusting after. See, there are so many things. We could put a whole list of things up here on what quail is. And that what people are today in our society, in our land that we live in, they are trying so hard to fill up their life, to satisfy a hunger, a deep, empty void in their heart. And it will never fill. The wrath of the Lord is actually kindled against them because they're trying to fill it up with something other than the manna, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. They're trying to fill their life with something else. Do we ever get caught in that? Do I ever get caught in that? We begin to feel that Jesus isn't sufficient. We need something a little more. We want something a little more. We want Jesus, yes. We want the manna, we want the bread of life. But we want something just a little more than that. We want something a little more exciting. We want something a little more entertaining. We want something a little more delightful than just manna. I've heard things said like, Christian life is boring. Does that relate to manna or quail? I think it does. They're trying to find life in quail. When the life is in the manna that God sent, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Men and women are chasing after all kinds of things to satisfy. It's empty. We can chase after our jobs. We can chase after homes. We can chase after the clothes we wear or the way we comb our hair. We can chase after the vehicles we drive, you know, the powerful things, you know. We can chase after all those things, but it's quail. How about our music? We like our music. It's the world's music, but we like it. It has some gospel words in it, but it's really the world's music. It's quail. It's empty. You get the true manna, Jesus Christ, what's sent down from God, and it satisfies. Quail. We're trying to satisfy ourselves in our nation today. We're trying to satisfy ourselves with our technology, with our movies, with our videos, with our radios, and fancying up the outside and all of these things. And it's quail. Whatever we're putting ahead of Jesus, whatever we're putting ahead of what God has given us, see, God has given us the all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It's wrapped up right here in the manna, Jesus Christ. Are we loathing the manna? Am I loathing the manna? You know, we would hardly want to say that. We're too spiritual for that, okay? We're just too spiritual for that. We wouldn't want to say that. But in spirit and in our attitude towards the things of God, are we loathing the manna? Are we excited? Just like it was the day we got born again. How God changed us and transformed us. And it's a miracle. And it's not a routine thing to get up in the morning and to spend time with God. And to hear from God. And to receive His strength in our life. Manna. That's what I'm talking about. Or do we try to fill it up with other things? Anything. Whatever it might be. God has given us the all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's found in Jesus Christ. And when we seek for fulfillment outside of Christ and His Word, it becomes empty. It becomes quail. Listen, am I satisfied to be a child of the King? Am I thankful that he has taken away my sin? Is it enough for me? I'm talking about this manna that we're partaking of. Is it enough for me to be an overcomer through the blood of the Lamb? Is that enough? Or do I need some quail yet? Something to spice up my life and make it more exciting? Or is it enough? Or do we add quail to the diet? You see, some of these things are okay, right? Some of these things are okay. Is it all right to have a home to live in? Is that sinful? Is that wrong? No, we need a roof over our head when it's 20 below zero, don't we? But if my heart's affection and my passions are to build the dream home of my life, it's quail. Do you see the lopsidedness? The thing goes back and forth. The quail that God sent can be a real blessing. But the overabundance where it's coming out of our nostrils is wrong. It's a lust. And the anger of the Lord is kindled against it. Is Jesus everything to me? Am I crucified to this world and its lusts? Are you looking forward to being with God in the promised land, face to face with Christ, my Savior? There is nothing that you can taste in this world that will satisfy like Christ Jesus. Drugs won't do it. Drink won't do it. Music won't do it. Women won't do it. Entertainment won't do it. Cruises won't do it. Vacations won't do it. Sightseeing won't do it. Nature won't do it. Hunting won't do it. Fishing won't do it. Flying won't do it. Recreation won't do it. Education won't do it. There's so many things that people are going after, and it becomes a lust. And while some of these things can be done in moderation, it may be fine in its moderation. But when we're using these things to fill up a void that can only be filled through Christ Jesus, it's empty. It does not produce. While it's yet in our teeth, we realize God's wrath is kindled against us in some of these things specifically. Have we found in our spiritual life that we are complete in Him? That's a good exercise for us to be thinking about this week. Are you complete in Him? Do you find it that way in your spiritual life? You are complete in Him. He's our life. Bible says, Jesus said, He that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Jesus' delight was to do God's will. What is our delight? Is it our greatest joy to read God's word, to let it change us, to let it mold us? Is that our greatest joy? So which are we choosing? Manna or quail? Which are we choosing? I want the true bread. I want the bread of life. Eternal life. That's what I want. I want that which satisfies the deepest inner cravings of the soul. I've had quail. Many of you have had quail, and it didn't satisfy, didn't meet the need. Many of us, I think all of us, if we're honest, we've all been chewing on quail at times, even after we're converted. Sometimes we find ourselves again lusting after quail. And we know it doesn't satisfy. It only brings leanness. Psalm 106:15, talking about this very thing of how they lusted for meat. And it says here, he gave them their request, but he sent leanness into their soul. And that's every time what happens, brothers and sisters. Every single time I've found that somehow my relationship with Jesus Christ and this manna and this completeness that we find in Christ Jesus, when something wasn't as alive and that believing wasn't very strong in my own heart, and somehow there was this lusting after some quail, it always brought leanness to my soul, and it will always bring leanness to our souls. God may give you whatever else that you're lusting after. He might give it to you, but it'll always come with a cost, and that is leanness to your soul. I want to close with this verse in Psalm 35, or 36 actually, verse 5 through 9. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reaches under the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And thou shalt make them to drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house. Is Christ your all in all? Is he the passion of your soul? Is he the one who fills the deepest hunger in your heart and life? If you haven't found it that way, you can still find it that way. But if you're chasing after other things, I don't care what it is, if you're chasing after it to fill this void, you'll come up short. You'll come up short. You'll have leanness to your soul. Only right here. Only, you know, the wilderness is like you and I in this life. And I know the promised land can be maybe tossed about different ways. And I think sometimes the promised land in the Old Testament was a little significant to us spiritually, you know, and how that we conquer and we overcome the adversary, and we have the power of God in our lives and so on. But I'd like to take it even a step further and say that I think the promised land is truly the promised land. God has promised us who believe eternal life. Those who have their sins washed away through the blood of Christ, through the blood of the Lamb, we have the promise and the hope of eternal life. It's the promised land. What are we feeding on? And what for choices are we making? There's a reason I put a question mark behind manna or quail. It's because I want us to think about it. Where am I getting my satisfaction? What is the nourishment that I'm drawing from? Am I complete in Him? That's my heart this morning. May God help us to go after Him with all of our heart and recognize those areas. While not everything's wrong about quail in its moderation, but we so easily, so quickly tend to get over here on the quail side of things, lusting after things that will never satisfy, when He is all we really need. Jesus Christ will supply the deepest. He will meet and satisfy the deepest longing in anyone's heart. But it takes a surrender, doesn't it? It takes a surrender of my will to His. God bless each of you.